This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
Hi, my name is Mike Gingrich, and I just realized that in May, I'm going to hit 3 years at the Candy Factory, so that's going to be an anniversary coming up. I know it's March, but I'm looking ahead to May already, so so
that's awesome.
That's an exciting time. It's been a good place for me.
Tell us what you do, Mike.
I operate a couple businesses then. So I manage a web development and web software team called Digital Hill. It's a remote team. And I also do some writing, blogging, speaking, and that's under Mike Gingrich Global. And through the kind of combination of things that we do with the Digital Hill side of web software, we've launched a startup called Vision Financial Marketing, which is a CRM and marketing system for financial advisors.
Busy guy.
Got a few things.
Thanks for taking a few minutes to spend some time with us today on 5x5. It's great to have you on the program. Diggs, always a pleasure to see you.
You too.
So we are still virtual. We're still in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak, and we're all working remotely. We're all staying home. We're all doing our part to help out. And so, 5x5 doesn't stop, man. 5x5 just keeps on rolling.
Yeah.
If you're new to the program, Diggs and I welcome a special guest each episode to talk about five random topics. Our iPad, his name is Frank, will present them to us. It's going to count down, and at the end of the 5 minutes, we'll hear a little bit of music, and we'll move on. So does everybody feel good?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Awesome. Let's do it.
Here we go. 5x5. Our first topic for today's episode is video conferencing.
Ah. Well,
that's a very timely topic.
Absolutely.
Video conferencing. Tell me about your thoughts on video conferencing. Let's start with Diggs.
Since we're doing it right now, I love it. Shout out to Zoom. No, just kidding. If only they could, sponsor us.
Can we get an endorsement, like a Zoom endorsement for the show?
That'd be great. We should send this to them when it's done, just so they can be aware of how much that we've relied on them in these last few weeks. But in all honesty, I think this applies to all of us since we are all members of the Candy Factory. Like, video conferencing is a big part of my, pre-new normal daily life, and has just become even more a part of my new normal daily life. So I'm a big fan. If I can do phone calls as a video conference, I much prefer it. I'm pro.
When you do conference calls, I'm sure you come across people like me who just don't do the video thing. And they'll like, you'll say, call into Zoom, and you'll be sitting there on the camera, and they'll come in, and they're just not turning that camera on. Do you get that?
I do. So I deal with faculty and staff at, usually I'm dealing with faculty and staff at the 11 colleges I work
they're
with.
They're just like, forget it.
Yeah, sometimes. But if you gently nudge, sometimes they'll relent. Or they'll tell you why they can't be on video.
Right.
So
I hate that. Mike, you're a digital guy, location independent to some extent. So when did you first start video conferencing?
Yeah.
Like, what was the first time you remember going, okay, let's do this video conference thing?
Yeah. Well, I think that the early ones were, is it WebEx was,
yes,
probably the first one. And, that was, wow. Maybe almost 15 years ago. Tough to say. Mm. But it was like really heavy loading, all that software and stuff that came on, and you had to get in there and that type of thing. And it was kind of clunky. So those were needed for potential client meetings at that point in time. They were, one was in Canada. We weren't going to go see him, all that kind of thing. So you're trying to find a way to interact a little bit more personally. And, it's just kind of grown from there. I've just kind of used it more, switched topics, and GoToMeeting. And
GoToMeeting was hot for about 3 weeks. I remember that. It was just like it came in and just boom.
It was one of the first that kind of made it easy to see the other person's screen. They could do a screen share.
Yes.
So that was why I used that one at that point in time. Yeah.
I started with live meeting. Do you remember that. Live meeting?
I didn't use it much, but
16 years ago or so, I joined an IT consulting company out of Philly, and they were a Microsoft Gold partner. So, you know, they did IT consulting, would install Office products and run Windows servers and stuff like that. So we had a subscription to Live Meeting. I don't remember that there was a video component, because I remember being jealous of my friends who had WebEx and could use WebEx. And our boss just wouldn't, he just wouldn't do it. And for like my department went rogue. We were app dev and we went rogue, and we had like a secret WebEx account, just one of them. And occasionally, you know, like we would, if you had a meeting you wanted to do like a video on WebEx, you would sort of like, you'd ask for the secret WebEx account. And then, you know, could only one could use it at a time. We all had to use this crappy live. And I don't, like I said, if there was video, it was terrible, because I just remember it being phone, you know, just like you're essentially calling in with a, your cell phone sitting next to the computer on speaker. You know, and you're just like doing calls that way, and hours of calls. It's come, it's just come such a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Zoom came out of nowhere. I don't know where the hell Zoom came from.
I wish I had stock in it. Yeah, I wish I would have gotten the stock. I mean, it's exploded. I did read an article just the in the past couple of days. So the founder. What was the other big ones? Go to webinar. Go to
meeting. I mean, people use Skype to some extent. I mean, I guess that's more of a call thing, but I think they tried to expand it to where you could do more. Well, maybe not. But
he was like a product manager in, you know, one of those firms, and moved out, launched his own thing.
Oh, the Zoom guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So he had total background, you know, and somehow had the leeway to compete, I guess, and done well.
Well, I tell you what, he found the pain points and just introduced a product that everybody just sort of jumped on almost immediately.
Because it's so seamless, and the bandwidth management is great. Like, I've been hearing some complaints on Facebook and whatnot. And I'm like, I think those must be local issues, not necessarily bandwidth with Zoom itself. Because, I mean, I had a board meeting yesterday with almost 25 people. Totally fine. Was on a webinar with like 200 people. Totally fine. Zoom's just,
it's rock solid. Yeah, for sure. And considering how many people are using Zoom, absolutely. Well, we're gonna keep video conferencing, but we're gonna stop talking about it, because it's time for topic number two on this episode's 5x5, which is zipper merge.
Oh boy,
I have no idea what this means.
Yeah, because you've been in Central PA too long, and no one knows how to do it here.
I was thinking zipper like on my jacket.
Yeah, I was struggling with it a little bit, but yes, I got you now. Yeah.
Okay, yes. So Diggs, enlighten us. Of New York.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's just everywhere but here that seems to get it. I didn't even notice until a lifelong resident pointed that out on Facebook. I don't remember which lifelong resident, but I remember thinking about the feeling of irony that I hadn't put two and two together before this person. But essentially, it's the practice of, if there are roadworks or reasons for
going to one lane. Right?
Yeah, two, three, whatever lanes into one, and it's the practice of one car moves up first, and then the car from the other lane gets to go behind that one, the car from the original lane, you know, it's one after the other, like a zipper. But what tends to happen in, I won't throw all of Central PA under the bus, but definitely in Lancaster City, when people see a zipper merge coming up from blocks away, they will instead merge immediately, thereby extending traffic jams and like into red lights and people sitting in intersections. And
box blocking. There's box blocking going on. It's people like beeping their horns.
Right. They do the zip and merge sort of correctly, but the whole point is you can use all of the available lane space until the zip and merge comes into effect, and then merge.
But that's the key.
That's the key. That's the thing that seems to be missing around here.
Mike, are you from this area?
I am not originally, but have spent, you know, two periods of time. So I'm in my second stint now. So over almost 14 years in the area, gotcha. But Midwest by birth.
And where you grew up, or is everybody cool with the zipper merge?
You know, I still would say that it was hit or miss. It just depended, because there's definitely times I can remember where the merge happened, you know, way too early, and then you would kind of, you know, I can recall, you know, times where, you know, my parents had merged, so they did this incorrectly, and then, you know, my dad would be and he would yell at he'd be upset when that person went flying by, you know, on the right, kind of, you know, going up there saying, hey, you know,
We're getting in line, we're getting in line, we're being patient, and you're just jumping.
Yeah, so I have to say, you know, it was out there in Indiana as well sometimes, but yeah. I think recently 222, man, that last summer and everything, that was huge there.
Yeah.
The thing about traffic and any kind of traffic patterns is, so, you know, and I know you can't avoid it in some cases, but the idea of subjectivity, when any traffic situation is subjective, that there's no winning. You know what I mean? There's just no good end to that story. It's sort of like four-way stops, right?
Oh boy.
Like, it's four-way stops to me are the dumbest. And I don't have the silver bullet solution for this, right? But like the idea that we stop at the four-way stops, and you know, you're supposed to go first if you were there first, and you're supposed to wait if you were there second. But there's that moment of subjectivity, mm-hmm. of who actually got there first. And then you throw in that dimension of the person who always gives the right of way, even if they were there first.
Default, mm-hmm. yes.
Which just kills the whole thing. It's like, could you just follow the rule? And I'm the guy here. There's got to be a whole study on four-way stops, because I'm the guy who actually coasts. I continue to coast to make it clear that the other guy stopped first. Like, I will slow down 20 or 30 yards before and keep moving so that I'm not stopped, mm-hmm. so that it's perfectly clear, and I'm going to let you go.
Yep.
But every once in a while, I run into the other me. Yeah, but see, I run into the other me.
Okay.
And we're both coasting, and we're both looking at each other like, who's going to stop first? And it's the same damn thing. It's anytime there's subject, and I think that merges are like that. It's like this subjective. I mean, I know it shouldn't be, Diggs. I'm with you. If we all just did it right,
it'd be great.
Everything would be great.
See, on the four-way stops, I actually do the opposite. Like, if I'm coming up and I see someone else coming up, I will stop first so that I can take off then.
Yeah, you'll stop like 10 yards before you stop.
I will stop early so it's clear. I stop, I'm moving now. You stop, I'm going. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I'm going.
That's a good thing.
If it's you and me, we're good.
Yeah, yeah.
But you throw a couple of U's or a couple of M's in it, man, and it looks like an awkward dance. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
But let's merge into the next topic, which is topic number three on this episode's 5x5. Acronyms or IM speak.
Oh boy. Good old alphabet soups.
So fascinating, right? Culture. Fascinating. IM speak. I guess this goes all the way back to LOL.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that like is that the first one? Like, what's the first one that you can recall that became a thing?
Yeah, LOL.
For IM, that's pretty early. Yeah.
Yeah, we're dipping into maybe even the first term of the Clinton administration.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say LOL or BRB are up there.
Oh, BRB.
For what I remember.
I'm not a BRB-er now.
When's the last
time you used BRB?
I tend to say BIRB. Like, I don't even do BRB anymore. I literally just go BIRB.
You say it?
If it's, you know, if like I actually done it to you. Like, if we were like having a conversation and like I needed to just run and do something real quick, I'd be like, BIRB, and then, you know, go off and do what I was
doing.
I don't
actually say those things. Wow. You say them?
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't even paying attention to that.
That's okay. You just don't listen to me. That's fine.
No, but I'm talking about, like, when's the last time you typed BRB into like a text or a chat thing?
It's been a while. It's usually if I know the person is one that expects quick responses,
You will BRB them.
Yeah. Just to be like, cool it. I'm still alive. I will respond to you, but I need to do something else for a moment.
Do you LOL still?
Oh yeah.
You're an LOLer.
Yeah.
I was never an LOLer.
No shame.
Ann Kirby will LOL everything. She's a major LOLer. Like, and she's lowercase LOLer.
Lowercase.
Same, yeah. Like the caps lock LOL has to be like, it's really funny, but I didn't laugh my ass off.
Right, right. It's so weird. We're so weird. We're such a weird species.
See, but like the emojis have almost really replaced the LOL, but not the, you know, BRB.
That's so true. The emoji replaced the LOL.
I mean, because often some kind of, you know, laughing emoji, that type of thing. So I'm quick to hit that as instead of typing an LOL, I guess.
That's so true. But you know what? You can't emoji certain things like IKR. I use that one all the time for I know right for my kid, like with my kids. My kids will send me something. I'll be like, I know right. And it's just with that attitude. But you can't emoji that.
No, you can't emoji that. There's.
That's really interesting, Mike, that we had this almost like this language that half of which is now being replaced by images, but the other parts aren't.
Well, we've gone full circle because I feel like we as a species started with like pictographs and stuff.
There you go.
These are like cave drawings.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I would love to try to see like... emojis replace like military acronyms, like SNAFU or Wilco or stuff like that, where they, you know, acronyming is part of their shtick. I'd love to like see some way that the emojis could like infiltrate those sort of acronyms and like or other things like the things that we like. There's got to be things we abbreviate that. I know that's not the same
right.
Thing.
I know what you're saying. Just sort of like, let's make some emojis. Let's just make some universally accepted emojis for these other things that normally wouldn't be emojied. Yep. You should do that. This should be like a project for you. Like your 2020 you project. You can, for the rest of the year, you can like, you know, infiltrate the culture with these new emojis and see how far they get.
Yeah.
Can, like track them. Do you have any? Are there any rare ones? Like ones that you? Well, let me ask you this question. I mean, how often do you find yourself Googling? I do that shit all the time with teenagers, man. Like I'm googling. They'll send me something. I'll just be like, I have no idea what that is, and I'll just like I'll flip over and Google it.
I absolutely as well. Yeah. So I have teenagers, young adults in the house, and so that's where I have to do it. I mean, there's kind of like this. There's a business version of this, and I'm fluent with that in the IM world and typically in business, but with my kids, I'm just like, what? Yeah. So I do have to.
Oh, I know. And they're inventing stuff. You know what I mean? Like they're coming up with new stuff and, it is hard to keep up. I know there are some directories out there where you can kind of, you know,
yes, absolutely.
Directories? But I'm not going to say,
yeah, I mean, you know, you can find these websites that list them all.
Oh, I see. Okay.
See, Urban things, you're so in the know, man. You don't need the directory. I'm a seasoned citizen here.
My sister and I are 7 years apart. Sometimes she throws curveballs at me.
There you go. Yeah. You know what it's like. Topic number four today's 5x5 Disney songs or generic musical songs.
I think I meant like musicals as in like Sound of Music or since I see it that I suggested this. It's really fun to try to remember, like, what was I thinking of when I suggested a topic?
Actually, do you have a favorite Disney song? Or? Don't tell me you have nothing to say about this topic.
No. Oh, I've got tons to say. Because I think I do remember why this came up. I think it came up at New Year's Eve, where Kelly Buchanan, who is a local singer who at one time in her life had a record deal and did the Hollywood thing, I think, for a little bit. But she's a very good singer. Some libations might have been involved. And some way, somehow, I Sound of Music came up, and then literally where I'm standing right now, there was like three, of course, if you're listening, you can't see what I'm doing, but there were three people like on either side of me. And we started with Edelweiss and then kind of kept going through the Sound of Music catalog, just singing along with each other. So if to an answer to this, probably Sound of Music would be my, most of the Sound of Music songs would be sort of like my favorite. But like Aristocats is also up there. I think that counts. Yeah. So I will stop there.
Mike, where are you at with musicals? Do you like musicals?
I do. Yeah. So I think that, Sound of Music has definitely been a key part of, family's background, and over and over again, break out into the song. So that one I can most resonate with. That's that one. It's, you know, some of the Disney ones, I've, you know, appreciated them. I'm not necessarily as familiar or recalling something that's jumping out at me that would say, oh yeah, we break into song on that one, or that's yeah.
There's not a musical that I like.
No.
I can't get there.
What is it about musicals?
I completely understand that people have a thing with musicals. Like I get it.
Wow.
There are things that I really like in the world, and I understand what it's like to really enjoy something, and I can extrapolate that feeling.
Yeah.
For people like my children who really like musicals, one in particular, and I can apply that feeling to what she must be feeling about musicals. But I just can't get there. I don't know why. When I was a little kid.
That's interesting, because you're a creative and...
I'm a musician.
Yeah.
I've been a performer my whole life. I'm all about that. You know what I mean? Like, I like entertainment. I like art. I like creative stuff. Just can't wrap my head around the musical. I can't get there.
Did you maybe try out for a musical as a kid and didn't get a part? I'm joking.
If I had gone to a school where they would have had a musical, maybe that would, maybe my life would be different, because, but my school just didn't have that kind of stuff. And I, for some reason, when I was a kid, I looked at musicals and I felt that they were corny.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like why are they singing this part? Like, you know, there'll be like a play. And I'd be watching it, and I'd be sort of getting into the story and the dialogue, and then all of a sudden they would be singing, and I would think to myself, yeah, but they break out in a song, right? And I'd be like, why are they singing this? They didn't have to sing this. They shouldn't be rhyming. And I got real, you know, worked up about it. And I just remember thinking that it was sort of like, well, I'm going to sound like a total dick when I say this, but it's like that was completely unnecessary. You know what I mean? That was my feeling. I remember as a middle schooler, teenager, and then I just couldn't ever.
No, that's fair.
I just couldn't ever get there. And you know, my kids with the Disney stuff, of course, and the singing along, and they used to watch. They had some pretty obscure ones too. Do you remember Martin Short? Remember that comedian? He was like on Saturday Night Live for, I don't know,
yeah,
handful of years.
Yep,
Martin Short. There was a Barbie series. There was like this animated series of musicals, animated musicals that came out, I don't know, about 20 years ago. And it was Barbie. And it was like, it was sort of like Disney light, like sort of like generic Disney kind of style. But Martin Short was this bad guy. And I did like him in this one particular movie because I was a fan of him. So I could, it was almost like I was mocking by singing along in his voice. It's like I was sort of making, I don't know.
No.
I don't want to say anything else about it because I'm going to get hate mail.
Uh-huh.
If it hasn't happened yet, I think you're fine.
No, I mean, I haven't talked about musicals to this extent on this
program. I'll say new musicals I don't get.
No.
Like High School Musical, no. That was unnecessary.
Well, good for you. At least you're a purist, Diggs.
Thank you.
We are moving right along to the final topic of today's 5x5, which is the best grocery store. The best grocery store. And it's the only thing, like, I think our perspective on grocery stores will change now that we've been staying home and spending a lot of time away from the public, because grocery stores are now like the thing. It's like the big deal. It's like, oh, I can't wait to go to the grocery store so I can leave this house and have an excuse.
But now they're judged differently because there was the before Corona and now. So it's, you know, you have to kind of reevaluate them because what's your experience at their store now, you know?
What was their response?
Yeah. How did they do it?
So pre-corona, Mike, what's your favorite grocery store?
You know, kind of between Wegmans and Whole Foods. I'm going to go with Whole Foods, I guess.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What about Whole Foods? Now, were you a Whole Foods fan before? Whole Foods just came to Lancaster in the last couple of years, so
I
this is new for this area. But were you a fan prior to that?
Yes, had been. And I mean, just kind of it kind of correlated with a healthy eating journey. So as my diet shifted, being able to find a lot of different things in one place was helpful. Just you know, liked what they did, liked what they were doing with locals. So when they came here to Lancaster, and I do like to, so I can get what I need, but I can also, you know, shop local because they're using local people. So I like that about them.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Diggs, how about you?
I don't know if I'd say it's the best, but I most often shopped, in the pre-corona days, at Giant, mostly because I got sucked into their gas.
It worked.
Yes. So the
beep, beep.
Which is right, Marty. But then I still go there most often. But it is annoying because the gas station that was on Oregon Pike is no longer there, which is where I used to, you know, redeem my, you know, such and such cents off a gallon. But in Corona times, I've found that I'm relying on Oregon Dairy and Lemon Street.
Oregon Dairy?
Because Oregon Dairy has had a pretty consistent meat supply from their local vendors, as opposed to like the bigger stores that tend to just get slammed. Also, Oregon Dairy's meat supply is actually really terrible. Nobody should shop there because, yeah. But Lemon Street also has been very good about limiting. So like I literally ran there early this afternoon after realizing I was dozing off. And I haven't had coffee in the house in a long time because I've gotten so used to the Candy Factory having coffee, pretty regularly. And usually I'm one of the folks that ended up making the coffee there. But I realized I was missing that. So I ran to Lemon Street, to get a bag and, you know, they're only allowing 6 people in at a time. There's a staff person that opens the door for you. Okay. They're cleaning the checkout area after every customer. Like, yeah, it's...
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been over there in a while. I should stop in and see what's going on. It sounds like they're at least being the most responsible about it. You know, I was a Giant guy pre-corona. I take that back. So for years and years and years, I would go to Giant over on Stone Mill. It was sort of like, when it comes to grocery stores, I'm not a browser, right? So I need to figure out where everything is and then map out my trip because I'm trying to beat the clock every single time I'm in these places, right? They're dreadful. And so I want to be in and out I'm not browsing. And if I go with someone who starts browsing, you want to see an irritated Jason.
There it is.
Grumpy. It's this guy. So... But I have to say, so I learned this Giant and I knew the routine and I was really good with it. But I have to say, I switched to Aldi.
Mm.
I switched to Aldi about 6 months ago, maybe. I'm going to even say less than that, like 3 months ago.
Hmm.
I just started going to Aldi and I was like, you know what? I am saving a crap load of money.
Yeah.
And I'm all about the shopping cart thing with the quarter and the efficiency.
What? Wait, what shopping cart thing with the
quarter?
You
don't know about the Aldi shopping cart?
I've never been to an Aldi.
You have to unlock your cart by putting in a quarter. So they're all outside. You put in a quarter, and that allows you to unlock it. And then you take it back, and you put it in, and then that discharges your quarter.
Oh.
That way they don't have... I mean, they are so efficient. They don't have those kids running around the parking lot collecting carts. Everybody returns their cart. It's amazing what 25 cents will do in terms of incentive to put a cart back. It's unbelievable.
I like that. That's a good idea.
Although, how's that work? I am an Aldi fan as well.
And they're you like Aldi?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And they're small. So you're not overwhelmed by choice.
Well,
anyway,
you know,
I could talk about
some
Aldi
of us
all
that
day
want
long.
Choice, you know, I'm kidding. Aldi must be great.
But I will say one thing though, that I went into Aldi after, like, right before we were getting all locked down, and it looked like a war zone. I mean, it was empty. This thing was just empty. I mean, there was zero. You couldn't buy a chicken. Like, there was no poultry. I mean, and I'm not talking like you couldn't buy a rotisserie chicken. I mean, there was not a piece of chicken in that store. It was unbelievable.
That's why you shouldn't go to Oregon Dairy.
Aldi's really can look kind of scary because it's all those cardboard boxes, you know, that they put out there. And so when those are all empty or just, you know, falling down, whatever, then the place can really look like, oh my word, what happened?
Yeah, it looked very disheveled. Anyway, I could talk about Aldi all day long. That's it. Fastest 25 minutes in podcasting.
Zing. Oh.
Doesn't that fly by? It just goes. You blink and it's over.
We didn't call out the fact that the show is now legal. This was our 21st episode.
Oh! All right. Cheers to this, to 5x5 on its 21st episode, bro. Whatever you're talking about.
That will make
about.
It easy for me to remember which one I was on. There we go.
There you go.
That's it. Episode 21 is in the books. Thanks, Mike Gingrich, for joining us on the program today.
Glad to be here, guys. Thanks.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory, a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
Editing and additional production
provided by Anna Tran.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
CoworkingInLancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.